the Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Jim Dierman.
In 1 Kings chapter 10, there's a familiar story of the visit of the Queen of Sheba to the great king, Solomon. And there are some important applications that we may make from this story about Sheba, her attitude as she came to prove Solomon the king with hard questions, and some aspects of Solomon's life that we may glean great lessons from. And then there is also the Savior, who is the antitype or the fulfillment of Solomon in terms of characteristics that Solomon possessed. We need to appreciate as we read the Bible that many of the Old Testament characters and institutions and events are typical in nature. That is, they typify or point toward the culmination or the antitype of those events or institutions or characters in the Old Testament. For example, Moses was a type of Christ in that he was the mediator between God's people and God. And in other aspects of his life, he becomes typical of Christ. And this is also the case with many other Old Testament characters. It's one of the great proofs of the inspiration of the Bible because it shows the harmony of the Bible. For instance, the temple and the tabernacle, Old Testament institutions, pointed toward or typified the New Testament institution, which is the church, the culmination of God's plan for saving man. And as we see all of the harmonious effects of the Old Testament and the New as they come together so beautifully, we have our faith reinforced tremendously in the inspiration of God's Word. Now then, in 1 Kings 10, we can see some things here that point to some applications about the Savior, the Christ, the Son of God. As we look at Solomon, who was God's anointed king, and as he typified, ultimately, the King of all kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ himself. But first of all, let's read some verses from this 10th chapter of 1 Kings and remind ourselves of this great story. Verse 1 of 1 Kings 10, beginning, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." That's reading through verse 10. And then if we look at verse 13, we see Solomon's response to the queen of Sheba. "King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants." Thus we have the account of the visit of the queen of Sheba, who had heard of the fame of Solomon. And of course, we should remember that Solomon, the great king of Israel, was one who had asked for wisdom, and God gave him not only wisdom, but also great riches. And all the nations round about Israel had heard of Solomon and his great wisdom and all that he possessed. And this Queen of Sheba, being among them, heard of that fame and came to see for herself. You know, there are some lessons we may learn from the character of Sheba herself, as she typifies the sinner or the seeker of truth who comes to the Savior. Sheba came to Solomon. The sinner needs to come to the Savior. And we'll look in a few moments at how Solomon typifies the Savior, Jesus Christ, in some respects. But Sheba here heard of his fame, and she wanted to come to see for herself if all this was true. We could say that she was much like the Bereans in Acts 17:11, of whom it is said, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Those Bereans were noble people. They were honest of heart. And when they heard the truth of God's Word, they examined that Word to see if indeed what they were hearing was true. They didn't view it with a prejudiced heart. They viewed it openly and honestly, and they searched the Scriptures. We need to be as honest as were the Bereans. We need to be as honest of heart as this Queen of Sheba, who when she came and who when she saw for herself, she was willing to accept the fame of Solomon and to say, "The half was not told me." She reacted honestly, and she gave. You know, verse 10 tells us in our text, as we read it, that she gave the king 120 talents of gold. She recognized his greatness. She gave him all of these spices that she had brought. She understood the greatness of Solomon, and she understood also that his greatness was associated with his relationship to God, that God had given him these things. And the natural reaction was that she gave to the king. You know, as Sheba typifies the sinner or the seeker of truth who comes to the Savior, when that seeker of truth comes to the Savior and understands the blessings of Christianity, when he obeys the teachings of the Savior and brings his life into harmony with the Son of God through belief in Christ as God's Son and repentance of sin and confession of the name of Christ, and then when he is buried in baptism for the remission of sins and added to the kingdom of God today, which is not the physical kingdom of Israel as this was, but the spiritual kingdom, which is the church. When he does this, he understands the blessings of Christianity that far exceed material blessings in this life. And when he understands those blessings, he reacts to them as Sheba did when she came and saw the great blessings that God had bestowed upon Solomon. And that reaction is to give. Sheba gave to Solomon, the sinner, who has been relieved of those sins, who has had that burden of guilt lifted from him through obedience to the Son of God, the Savior, also reacts by giving. Giving not only of his means on the first day of the week as a part of the faithful children of God in the church, but he gives of himself, he gives of his time, he gives of his talent. He gives everything because he understands that really it all belongs to God to begin with. And so Sheba reminds us of that honest seeker of truth who comes to see for himself if Christianity is really what it claims to be. And when he understands that New Testament Christianity is what it claims to be, that it does provide all spiritual blessings, and that begins with forgiveness of sins, he reacts accordingly by giving as he ought to give, by giving to the Savior as Sheba gave to Solomon. But you know, it also is true that just as Solomon gave back to Sheba, the Savior gives back to us. God the Father gives to us all spiritual blessings, as we have just mentioned, but also he takes care of our every need. We're anxious for nothing when we truly come to the Savior in obedience and understand what it means to be a child of God. He responds by giving to us as we and after we have given our lives to Him. Yes, there are so many wonderful lessons we may see from looking at the example of Sheba and her attitude, and the wisdom and the generosity of Solomon as well. We'll look at that more in just a moment, as well as some beautiful aspects of the Savior as well. In our lesson today, we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 10, particularly studying the characters of Sheba, the queen who came to Solomon in order to see for herself all that God had bestowed upon him. And as we look at Solomon and the characteristics of this great king of Israel at this time, we also see some typical things about the Savior, the Son of God Himself, Jesus Christ. You see, Solomon was wise. His wisdom is mentioned in verse 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And listen to the words of the next verse, verse 24 of 1 Kings 10. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And Solomon was generous. In verse 13, we notice that he gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. And then she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. We've talked about the fact that in typical fashion, Solomon typifies the generosity of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who gives to us, and God the Father, who gives to us all spiritual blessings in Christ through His Son, Jesus Christ, if we are Christians today. And He gives to us in such a far, far better way, a far greater way, a more perfect way than Solomon could give material things to the Queen of Sheba. And though Solomon was wise, he was imperfect. Though he was generous, he was not as generous as God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, who gives us the riches of salvation. And though he was rich in material things, Jesus Christ the Savior, the antitype of Solomon the king, our king today, our Lord of lords, gives to us the greatest of all riches, salvation from sin, and the crown of eternal life. You know, if we go back and we look at a particular verse, verse 5 of 1 Kings 10, we see that Sheba saw the meat of the table that Solomon set, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers and their apparel. All of the splendor of this physical kingdom really impressed this great queen. But let's think for a moment about the spiritual kingdom of the Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the meat of His table, the Savior's table, is the spiritual food. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. When we partake of that bread, When we eat of that spiritual food, we never hunger. When we drink of the living water, which is Jesus Christ, through His Word, then we never thirst. And so the splendor of Solomon's kingdom, the meat of his table, the attendance of his ministers, their clothing, the cupbearers, all of this was indeed impressive. But it paled in comparison to what we have available to us today in the spiritual kingdom of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus has promised us spiritual food in the church. And the apparel of Solomon's servants was impressive, no doubt, as we've said, but we are the children of the King if we're Christians today and clothed with the garment of righteousness. We're to put off the old garment of sin and we're to put on new garments. And those new garments are garments that are not physical garments, but as the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, they are the garments of kindness, the garments of humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, and forbearance, and forgiveness, and above all other parts of the clothing, charity or love. We're clothed with a garment that is spiritual in nature if we're children of the King today, and that apparel far, far exceeds the physical apparel of Solomon's servants. And yet it's tragic indeed today that while the Savior offers to the world far, far more than the splendor of Solomon's kingdom ever offered to the physical world of his time, myriads of people do not seek the wisdom which is from above. You see, a verse we read a few moments ago, verse 24, is a verse that needs to be examined. That verse says, "And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart." Now think about that. All the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. But what about all the earth today? Can it be said that all the earth seeks to the Savior today to hear his wisdom? The wisdom that truly is the wisdom from above? Tragically, the answer is no. The world does not seek that wisdom. Oh, that the world would seek the Savior in order to be wise unto salvation. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, and he said to him, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy had sought that wisdom. Think about how Paul described it there. Wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Wisdom, real wisdom, true wisdom is to be found with the Savior. And oh, if all the world would simply seek that wisdom that comes through the Savior in His Word, that they might have the salvation which He has so abundantly made possible. It's done by belief in Christ as the Savior of the world, as the only begotten Son of God. But it must be a belief that carries us forward to fully repent of our sins and to truly confess that we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And then based upon that confession, we must be baptized because the Savior made that a prerequisite to salvation. It is the Savior who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And then when we are, it is the Savior who adds us to His kingdom, not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom with far more splendor and glory than the physical kingdom of Solomon. That kingdom is the church of which we read in the New Testament. The church in which we must be in order to one day enjoy eternal life. The husband is the head of the wife, Paul wrote on one occasion, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body, the spiritual body, which is the church, Ephesians 5:23. The Savior adds us to that body, and in that body we have the protection of those who have been purified. As long as we walk in righteousness according to His Word, confessing our shortcomings, we're cleansed by His blood. And we have far, far greater blessings, greater joy, greater peace, greater comfort than could have ever been the case with Solomon's servants. You know, the Queen of Sheba in 1 Kings 10:8 said, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom." But oh, how much happier are those servants of the Savior who stand continually before Him, that is, through obedience to His Word, and who hear His wisdom, that is, the wisdom that comes through His Word. Here is where that wisdom has been deposited. If we're willing to come to the Word of Christ, obey it, and continue to live by it, then happy are we, His servants, as we stand continually before Him. And then other people who investigate Christianity ought to be able to see that happiness in those who are Christians. They ought to be able to see that which will impress them far more than the Queen of Sheba was ever impressed with the kingdom of Solomon. They ought to be ultimately, completely impressed as they investigate the kingdom, not of Solomon, but of the Savior. And as they investigate and see the most glorious kingdom ever established, the kingdom of Christ, the church of Christ, we can be members of that New Testament body. And oh, if only the world would see the blessings that come from being in that kingdom. I'm Jim Dearman with Truth for the World.